Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Mike Sempervivi here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here with you every single day, Monday through Friday for an hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Sundays for 2 hours, beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Replays every single day, including Saturdays, here on the Sports Byline Radio Network, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, Rush Channel 93, the American Forces Radio Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeart Radio. Tune in iTunes. No matter how you're listening, we thank you for making Observer Live the most listened to daily professional wrestling and MMA broadcast in the stratosphere. And as you've been warned all week, it's me. I'm sitting in the plush, oversized big boy chair of Brian Alvarez today, who is in Los Angeles for a wedding, but never fear, I've found throughout my life, why go it alone when there's somebody out there you can drag down with you? And co-conspiring with me after the break today will be the great Victor Sosa, also of WrestlingObserver.com, as well as 106.7 Light FM in New York. And with the boss man out of town, I wanted to try and take a little bit of a different tack today. All week long, Brian and I have talked, sometimes to the point of nausea, about WWE and more specifically Raw. And for me, as far as this week goes, that horse is not only dead and beaten, but they've produced glue. The glue has been bottled, it has been sold, it has been used by a first grader, and he gave the project to Mom, and it's dried out even. It's dead right now. I don't even want to think about it till this coming Monday. I have no interest in SmackDown. Done with it. At least until Monday, and I'll probably be done with it after that too. So to fill the void today, I wanted to bring up a more interesting topic, I think, which is Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame season is upon us, and for those who are unaware, this Hall of Fame isn't like WWE's version, which it might be entertaining to watch, but unlike a lot of other, you know, reputable sports halls, which rely on historical accuracies and expansive voting amongst a large group of people, theirs is kind of decided on for political or commercial reasons, which doesn't give you the best clarity about the history of wrestling and how it laid a path to today. So when we come back, Vic and I are going to give a rundown on how Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame works, who's on the ballot this year, and who may have the best chance of crossing the threshold into newsletter immortality. So stay with us. This is Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
It's the Yellow Tag Event, and now is the time to find your ultimate adventure. Whether you're hitting the trails with a Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, the open road on a Can-Am Spyder, or carving snow on a Ski-Doo snowmobile, you can turn up the excitement for any season with our industry-leading performance and technology. Hurry into your local dealer by October 31st and save up to $3,000 on select 2015 models and get up to a 3-year warranty. Restrictions may apply. See your dealer for details. For safety and training info, contact the ATV Safety Institute.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MY-TV. That's 877-499-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now. 877-499-MY-TV. That's 877-499-MY-TV.
Special announcement from Lumber Liquidators. Hundreds of styles and inventory are now available at our fourth annual Fall Flooring Yard Sale. For a limited time, save as much as 70% or more on designer quality floors with over 400 varieties of beautiful flooring, like 3/4 inch solid pre-finished hardwood from an incredible $199. Hot new wood look tile is clearance price from 99 cents. Hand-scraped hickory laminate is about half off. Plus, hurry in for additional yard sale deals starting at just 39 cents and get 24 months special financing. Don't miss the Fall Flooring Yard Sale. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Howdy, folks. It's me, Colonel Sanders. Now, there are an awful lot of lunch options available to you, the American workforce. But do not settle for some hamburger. Get your hands on my $5 fill-up, friend. It is a delicious bounty of lunchtime abundance. KFC. It's finger-licking good.
Drum thigh side cookie medium drink. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
2 days ago, Jeff McDonald posted the following. Just watched the sunrise from above the clouds. So stoked. Jeff got 19 likes and 7 comments. Not bad, Jeff. Geico has a comment to add that may make you even more stoked. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on car insurance by switching to Geico. And if that doesn't put your head above the clouds, you'll have the extra money to scale a peak that will. Hashtag on cloud 9, hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. I am Mike Sempervivi, filling in for Brian Alvarez today, and I'd like to welcome on my co-host who has done this thing before, and it's great to have him back again. Also from WrestlingObserver.com, Mr. Victor Sosa. And Vic, how are you?
I am doing well today, my friend. How are you? How comfortable is that big boy chair anyway?
This is nice. I like this. Brian is very, he's a smaller guy, you know.
Yeah,
the
did
average
you have to
person,
take the phone books out of it?
That's, yeah, you know, is like, you know, 5'9 or so. Brian is not. So, like, I don't, you know, this is going to be way too old of a reference for most people out there, but it was like, it's like Lily Tomlin in that big oversized chair on Sesame Street, I believe it was, that she would sit in back in the 70s and all repeated throughout the 80s. And that's what this is like, except it's leather. It's it seems to be very expensive, and it's very, very plush and padded. The big boss is a very lucky man.
He but, is indeed.
But Vic, how have you been? And I wanted to, you know, when I asked you to co-host today, I wanted to kind of change the tact of the week because I had just gotten off a couple days of going around with Brian. And I don't even think we strongly disagree too much when it comes to some of the stuff in WWE. It's just it hasn't been good, and it has not been fun to talk about. It really hasn't. And some of the things going forward, you know, with how it stands right now, it's not too fun to look forward to, unfortunately, either. And I guess it would be wrong of me this week, before we get into the meat of the show today, not to ask your opinion on how it's been for you following WWE and some of the things that have been going on. Yes, NXT is good. Yes, New Japan is good. There's lots of good stuff taking place all throughout the world. But the big stir that stirs the drink is WWE, and it has been very, very difficult.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. You were talking in the opening of the show about how beating the dead horse, it's turned the glue. The glue is dry. You put your major project, put it together. Listen, the way this thing has been going the last few weeks, that project with that dead horse glue is just so bad that mom wouldn't even put that on her refrigerator. So it's not been good, to say the least. And, you know, it's the proof's in the pudding. I mean, we can talk about football and we can talk about the baseball playoffs, and they certainly have an effect. But a 17-year ratings low speaks for itself.
Just absolutely brutal. Just brutal, and is probably not going to get better ratings-wise anytime soon, although I guess we have to see what will happen. But I figured one of the better ways to take a 180 is just to get out of today and kind of look back at the past. And now that the voting is closed on the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame balloting, which is currently being counted up by Dave Meltzer, might as well go back to history. And it's been a subject that for people who are familiar with the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame, this is an exciting time of the year where there gets to be a lot of debate going back and forth. You know, one of the real benefits of it to me is that a lot of historical research gets done, and maybe fun for some out there to make fun of, you know, people studying the past of professional wrestling. But hey, it's like every other business out there. And there is a lot of great history to it. And frankly, the there's so much history. What I watched as a kid is completely 180 degrees different in some ways than what's taking place right now. So history moves fast, and those who don't learn from it are doomed to repeat it. But what do you think about the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame every year? I know you're not a voter on the Hall of Fame, which you should be, doing a great show with Les Thatcher, really dealing with oftentimes history every single week on WrestlingObserver.com. What do you think about all the hullabaloo every year, and how much interest do you have in it?
I actually have. I'm very interested in it. It's one of the most fun times of the year, I think, to have Dave talking about and writing a lot about these different candidates and going over the debating the merits of who's in, who's out, who should be in, who should be out. Some of the criteria I find really interesting too, because there's two or three basic criteria with respect to their skill level as professional wrestlers, how big a draw they were, and some other things. And it's noted that candidates, you can either vote for someone who has a number of those qualifications, or one person, or someone who's so outstanding in one specific area that you feel they deserve induction. And I'd also note, because it has come up before and probably will come up again, and may come up again before the show is over, Mike, nowhere in the rules and regulations do I see here character being taken into consideration. And there's been some, issues around questionable folks in this business a time or two over its history. So the fact that character is not listed, I think, is one of those interesting criteria, because oftentimes people who are voting take it upon themselves. And it's your right. I mean, it's kind of nebulous. It's not listed there. You're not required to take character into consideration. But sometimes, and for some people, that is often a difference maker as to whether or not they'll vote for someone or won't vote for someone, Mike.
Yeah, and the Chris Benoit situation. Now, Chris Benoit was in the Hall of Fame, and then we had a recall vote to get him out. But that's one example, as well as many other examples, when you look at the character, the history of some of these men who are in the Observer Hall of Fame. But it's much like the NFL, where really voters, you can take that into account if you wanted to, like the Baseball Hall of Fame writers probably do, and you can put it in your mind, depending on how you view it, to completely put it out that it doesn't matter what they do outside. This is about their wrestling career and what they did there. So there's always a lot of debate that way, because that is not strictly defined. And this Hall of Fame that Dave Meltzer and other people helped create began in 1996, just to give a little bit of backstory on it. And I believe he used the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame as its inspiration. And, it really has become known to be one of the more honest and all-encompassing Hall of Fames out there. And I'm even excluding WWE in this, and I'm including the brick-and-mortar institutions that exist in New York or in Iowa and other places that people have tried to come up with it. And I'm not trying to demean those honors at all. But I just believe that the Observer Hall of Fame, because of who votes on it, which are people inside the wrestling business, wrestlers, executives, referees, other people that have worked in the business, and this is throughout the years, throughout every generation imaginable, those people get to vote on it, as well as historians, men like Carl Stern and Steve Yohei and Matt Farmer, and people who do work that way, as well as writers, people like myself and who have observed the sport for a long, long time. Bruce Mitchell of the Pro Wrestling Torch, as well as just many, many others. He really gets a great cross-section of people. And, I really do believe that it's, kind of the best way to look at wrestling's history. And it's like the old Guns of Wool sonnet, the old man on there. No brag, just fact. It really, really is. And it really is something that's proud to be I'm proud to be associated with. And I do take it very seriously, too. When you're calling out somebody's life and their livelihood and what they've done, for their existence, you need to really put in the work to try to be fair about it. And it's a very big ballot. And Vic's going to be here, over the next 2 days. And I hope to get into more of the international stuff tomorrow. the candidates from Europe, and this is kind of a call to everybody because I know we have good listenership and a lot of people from on the website that are from Europe, especially the UK, where a lot of the candidates on that ballot come from, and are very names like Big Daddy, who are very controversial. And you know, there's a lot of Mexican candidates that are great in Japan, but I want to kind of wait on those till next week. And coming up here in this next segment, we'll kind of go over all of the candidates that come from North America, because it's a very interesting ballot this year with some very, very interesting names. Bryan Danielson, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan, being the one biggest one. This is his first ever year on the ballot, and it's just an interesting case. You know, at this point in his career, has he done enough right now to be considered an all-time Hall of Famer? Some people say yes, others say no. And coming up in the about 40 minutes past the hour, we'll get your views on everything as well, too, at 1-800-878-PLAY. So we'll be back, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
From the Student Loan Hotline. The average student loan debt is $25,000. Have you been out of college for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? If you are struggling with paying off your student loan, if you are past due, we can help. Nationwide Student Loan Relief can now restructure your student loans. We can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop harassing collection calls, and even eliminate your student loan payment. If you can't afford your student loans, or if you're past due and you need help, you must call right now. We will restructure your loan or your money back, and that's a guarantee. So call the Student Loan Hotline right now. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707. 800-949-8707.
Are you a business owner or an individual who owes the IRS? Then be prepared to write down an important phone number. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? Do you need to file back tax returns? Are you dealing with bank levies and wage garnishments? It's time to deal with your IRS problem today. Call Certified Tax Tax Representation now. Certified Tax Tax Representation, Inc. represents clients just like you in all 50 states. They will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client, and you can become a client immediately. It's time for you to face your IRS problems. Think about how great you're going to feel when you're represented by a company who's an advocate for you, who knows the law, who also will contact the IRS the same day you become a client. Call today for your free, no obligation consultation. Call now, 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064. Not all cases are typical and some may not qualify. The consultation is free and so is the call, so call right now. 1-800-999-1064. That's 1-800-999-1064.
Attention catheter users. Stop reusing dirty catheters. Catheters are now disposable. Recent changes in Medicare now allow patients up to 200 disposable catheters a month, all at little or no cost to you. We bill Medicare. Put an end to the mess and risk of infection by using old catheters. Just use a catheter once and throw it away. Eliminate trips to the pharmacy and insurance paperwork. Shipping is free. Receive a free catheter sample by calling and joining Medical Direct Club right now.
Call 1-800-399-9018 to receive your free catheter sample discreetly delivered right to your door. That's 1-800-399-9018. 1-800-399-9018. Call 1-800-399-9018 today.
Deductibles and copays apply. Free catheter samples require qualified membership. Sample will arrive with 90-day order.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network. I am Mike Sempervivi filling in for Brian Alvarez, which means Vic Sosa is here filling in for me, and I'd like to welcome you back to the show, talking about the 2015 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame and guess we'll go through here very quickly what makes somebody eligible to be in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame in a sport that is with truly without retirements, that you can go on forever. You could just randomly show up forever. You know, Sting being a great example of that, who is going to come up a little bit later on as well, I'm sure. It's tough. So it's like, you know, how do you define these boundaries? And since 1996, the voting for the most part has remained unchanged, but you have had to do some tweaks. And basically it goes like this: to be eligible, a performer must have reached the 35th birthday and have completed 10 years since their debut as a full-time performer, or has been somebody who's been a full-time pro wrestler for at least 15 years. Longevity should be a prime consideration rather than a hot 2 or 3 year run, unless somebody is just so significant in the business and becomes such a historical figure or so valuable that they just are a no-brainer to be included onto the ballot. However, just longevity without being either a long-term main eventer, top draw, or top-caliber in-ring performer should be seen as relatively meaningless. The election is broken down into the different categories, as I talked about earlier on, from different regions, and you really are only allowed to vote for the region for which you actually have some expertise. An example like that is Mexico. As much as I love Mexican wrestling, as much history as I could probably talk on it with the layman, I'm just not qualified to talk about the wrestling business in Mexico as far as who would deserve in and who wouldn't. On the flip side, all of the work I've done with Japan over the years, I believe as though I am fit to do that. Most certainly when it comes to North America, I can definitely do that. So you kind of choose what's important to you and what you can truly vote on. And Dave's got a great knowledge of who he sends these ballots out to, of what their expertises are and what they're not. The ballot's broken down to wrestlers and those who are not pro wrestlers but have been valuable parts of the industry. You're allowed to vote for 10 guys on the main ballot and up to 5 guys off the secondary ballot, which it really is for people who have been announcers or purely bookers or executives or managers, you know, just the other outside the ring performers. And those 5 don't count against the 10 main people, but you get up to 5 of those as well. And anybody who really receives 60% of the voting on each ballot from whichever region they're coming from, say Shinsuke Nakamura from Japan or Big Daddy from England or Sting from North America, then they go in. And anybody who drops under 10% falls off of the ballot until there's another reason to bring those people on. One of the rules that has been instituted has been the 15-year rule, which kind of goes off of what Major League Baseball does. And there's a handful of candidates that have been on the ballot since the year 2000. And this would be, in baseball terms, their last year of eligibility. But here, they have to at least get 50% of the vote to stay on the ballot. Otherwise, there's really no reason to. If you've been on the ballot for that long and haven't gotten to that point, odds are you need to drop off. One of the more legendary cases over the last few years has been Dick Murdoch, who has kind of been the yardstick as far as work goes for a lot of wrestling fans out there. Those people on the ballot this year are The Assassin, Sin Caras, Carlos Colon, Viano 3, and Volk Han. And the only one that really matters for what we're going to talk about today, maybe, are the Assassins. And I'm going to whip through the first category, which are the historical performers from back in the day. That list, for a lot of the older fans out there listening, you'll get a kick out of maybe hearing some of these names you haven't heard in a long time. And those names on the ballot are the Assassins of Jody Hamilton and Tom Renesto, one of the more famous tag teams of all time. Red Bastien, June Byers, Cowboy Bob Ellis, Bob Geigel, Pepper Gomez, Dick Hutton, Rocky Johnson, Kinji Shibuya, John Tolos, Enrique Torres, the Von Brauners, alongside their manager Saul Weingroff, which is an example of how a unit that has made an impact on wrestling could all go in together. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Rubberman Walker, for longtime fans of Georgia Championship Wrestling and viewers of WTBS. The original Mr. Wrestling, Tim Woods, and also Ron Wright, who passed away this year, whose name was added to the ballot. And you'll see that lots of times when it comes to the voting. If somebody had passed away, sometimes a lot of hype gets behind them, and when people ask for a certain performer to be put back on the ballot, and enough people do that, and Dave figures that the person might get votes, he puts him back on there. And I'll also run through the modern performers as well. And these are going to be names that are more familiar to most of the people out there listening and really are going to be the ones I think that stir debate over the next 2 days. And they are, as I said earlier, Bryan Danielson, also the Junkyard Dog, Edge, Kurt Hennig, Ivan Koloff, Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, CM Punk, who is on the ballot for the first time, The Big Show on the ballot for the first time, Sergeant Slaughter, Sting, AJ Styles, and The Ultimate Warrior. And Vic, that, when you, just those names, and you look at those and you think of how well many of those people have done for themselves, how great of workers that some of them are, you know, it kind of gives an example of, you know, it's no easy thing to get into the Hall of Fame. The Assassins probably made as much money as any tag team when you put them on a sliding scale and they're not in. But what names to you kind of stick out there, some that you think are no-brainers or can't believe that, you know, they're bothered to be on there with some of the names I mentioned?
When I look at the candidates in the modern performers category, the one you just the list you just read off, there's three that jump out at me, keeping in mind if I were to have to stick to the limit of voting for 10, as is the standard on this ballot, there are three that I know I would want to include. And depending on what I did with the rest of the categories, maybe I'd come back for one more person. But the three that to me I check off immediately are Ivan Koloff, Brock Lesnar, and Bryan Danielson. And I'll take Bryan Danielson real quick because I think it harkens back to the part of the balloting or the rules that Dave Meltzer has set down for this Observer Hall of Fame in the previous segment, where it says it's a combination of drawing power, being a great in-ring performer, or excelling in one's field in pro wrestling, as well as having historical significance in a positive manner. A candidate should either have something to offer in all three categories or be so outstanding in one or two of these categories that they deserve inclusion. And for me, Bryan Danielson is so outstanding at the art of professional wrestling that he gets my vote without a second thought to the other categories. And I'm curious to know what you think about that.
You know, of the three names you just mentioned, this may be a surprise to a lot of people. I think of those three, the one I would put on the bottom would actually be Brock Lesnar. The one I would put on the top would be Ivan Koloff. And I think Koloff, yeah. I agree with you, and Daniel Bryan are both no-brainers. And a lot of that has to do with Daniel Bryan is of being just so outstanding as an in-ring technical performer for so long. That overcomes lots of other things. To me, that was the reason that guys like Chris Benoit went in. When they did, you'd look at the amount of money that Chris Benoit drew throughout his career that you could draw a direct line through, merchandise, interviews, this, that, or the other. But when you talk to professional wrestlers, when you talk to people inside the business, when you watch him perform at a consistently high level over the years, you understand why this guy's a no-brainer Hall of Famer. You know, sometimes it's easy as just talk to the workers that he's working with, and it's as simple as that to understand that, you know, why they'd be in. And Daniel Bryan is a great example of that, and I think he's got much more charisma than Benoit ever did. I think he is a better interview by far than what Chris Benoit ever was. You know, Benoit may have been a little bit more believable in some ways, but I frankly don't think anybody's more believable than Daniel Bryan as far as, you know, him coming across as what kind of person he is. And I think he is a no-brainer to me, and I think he's going to be one of those people that gets in on the first ballot, where Brock Lesnar, it's been several years now and he hasn't made it in. And one of the issues is, you know, and you don't do this, but I wonder how many people out there hold the fact that, you know, not only was Brock Lesnar, he's not a great professional wrestler, you know, as far as what we think of, like, technical terms when you put him on a scale with, like, Kurt Angle of what they could do in the ring. You know, Brock doesn't have that. But the money that Brock Lesnar has drawn, and the fact that in 2015, when absolutely positively nobody is special, he's still special, you know, that means something. And there is a little asterisk, too, when it comes to guys and MMA, because Tsuyoshi Sakuraba is in the Hall of Fame. And I had a chance to see him as a pro wrestler, and I didn't like him at all. He's technically sound, but he worked a style I didn't like, and he wasn't even close to being good at that style in comparison to the other men he was working with. But he's in the Observer Hall of Fame because the spirit of pro wrestling and the spirit of what he was able to do in Pride. And I think some people may not like that, but I think aura matters in pro wrestling, and I can see why people use that as something on Brock Lesnar's side. And I guess, Vic, because you're far more well-spoken than I, let me play critic to you and say, you know, what did Brock Lesnar do as a pro wrestler to be in a hall? Why is he so special? Why does he deserve to be in?
I'm someone who strongly believes in that aura that you carry with you. He brought an aura with him from WWF or WWE to UFC, then became the UFC heavyweight champion. And listen, there are plenty of MMA fans who will tell you that they wanted to see that wrestler guy get beat. They never really adopted him as their own, but they paid enormous sums of money to see him fight. So he was always sort of carrying that banner of WWE wrestler, whether he wanted to or not, because people were fixated on labeling him as such. And so when he returns, he not only brings that back to WWE, but having had success in UFC, it added a whole nother level to his aura, to his persona, and made him much more special. And like you said, that aura does count for something, and that's why he's got my vote.
Great irony when it comes to that, and UFC fans too, but that's for another day. We'll be back talking more about this and also taking your calls as well too, and we'll let you know the number after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Right now, the Home Depot has Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate Flooring for just $2.29 a square foot. Basic installation is just 89 cents a square foot. So, let's lay down a floor that stands up to our lives, with double the durability of regular laminate and just as beautiful as real wood. Let's do this with Pergo XP Haley Oak Laminate for $2.29, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only. Installation offer valid on laminates over 150 square foot with minimum purchase of 250 square feet.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, October 16th through the 19th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-221-0010 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-221-0010. That's 888-221-0010.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help, and your insurance may offer coverage.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214, 800-521-3214.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-521-3214. 800-521-3214.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back here, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network, Monday through Fridays, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Also, every day, show's back on, if you ever miss any part of this, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Saturday replays as well. Sunday, live 6 to 8 Eastern Time here on the Sports Byline Radio Network. And we've been talking about the Hall of Fame, and I should have brought this up earlier. With Brian being gone and being on the other side of the country from I don't have access to all of his equipment, so we will not be doing the text message gimmick or anything like that. If you need to get a hold of us that way, please Twitter or use Twitter, at SemperVivi. And at VS1067 to get a hold of Vic and I. And only one phone line today over the next 2 days as well, Brian's going to be gone on Monday. That's 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529 if you want to go ahead and chime in on the Hall of Fame. And Vic, let's take it back a little bit older, just because we both mentioned the name, and apparently, from what Dave Meltzer, at least the inference, if that's the right word, I got from him last night talking to Brian, is that the name Ivan Koloff is popping up and is a very interesting candidate, and he's been on there for a while. A lot of people probably out there listening remember Ivan Koloff. If they remember him at all, it's being teamed with his quote-unquote nephew Nikita in the Jim Crockett promotions days, also teaming with Crusher Khrushchev there. But a lot of people don't realize Ivan Koloff's career very expansive and very, very lucrative. He didn't just it wasn't just a hot shot thing taking the belt off of Bruno Sammartino. Yes, it was a short reign, but it was also a very successful one. And his brethren, his team, the people that I most associate with his career in doing business, superstar Billy Graham and Ernie Ladd are in as no brainers. And I'm surprised it's actually taken this long for Ivan Koloff, to be honest. How do you feel about Koloff, and, you know, especially being in New York, where a lot of people don't realize how big he was there and how much money he was able to draw, not only there, but in the Midwest, in the Carolinas, but the impact he actually had in the WWF, is probably something people don't realize.
Well, clearly, the fact that he's Russian has played against him. Well, these folks who are just anti-communist, obviously. Very unfair to call
him. Of course.
But, yeah, I mean, come on, give me a break. But no, he was, I mean, an enormous star here in the Northeast and in New York City, made, of course, by that historic victory over Bruno Sammartino. And that's another guy, by the way, who speaks very highly of Ivan Koloff, Bruno Sammartino, which is more than enough for me. But, you know, the other thing that happened was on his subsequent runs and ventures back into the territory in the 70s and again in the early 80s, that was a guy who was seen very differently by this audience, because that was the guy who beat Bruno. So when he came in as the title challenger, people thought, uh-oh, he's already done it once before. This guy might be the one. When he came back against Bruno the second time Bruno was champion, and when he came back in the early 80s to wrestle Bob Backlund, people were genuinely concerned that this might be the guy. He had that reputation. And, you know, it wasn't just because he beat Bruno. As you mentioned, he went on around the country and embellished it. A regular tag team partner of superstar Billy Graham and Ernie Ladd, as you mentioned, and they wreaked havoc as a team up here in the Northeast as well. This is a guy who won titles, was at the top of the card in every territory he was in, drew lots of money in every territory he was in. The gimmick was, you know, solid gold for the time. I mean, in the 70s and the 80s with the Cold War and the situation between the U.S. and the USSR. But it doesn't matter if you can't back it up in the ring, because people will eventually find you out. And he was never found out, because he was solid. There was no getting around that. He had the personality. He had good interviews for who he was supposed to be. He was a tremendous wrestler and was very effective at a number of different sizes, too. Remember, Mike, when he won the title in the early 70s, he was 270, 280 pounds. And over the course of the 70s and into the mid-80s, he trimmed down, lost a considerable amount of weight, and was still every bit as effective in the ring.
an unbelievable pro in every aspect of the game. And, you know, you hear him talk to, you know, Steve Austin or if you've ever heard any interviews with Ivan Koloff, I think even we have, I think we did one as well, too, up on WrestlingObserver.com. You hear about how self-destructive he was, like a lot of pro wrestlers were, and you would have never, ever known it. You know, with guys like, you know, obviously the most tragic cases, guys like Gino Hernandez or unfortunately men like Scott Hall, where, you know, it was on display for so many. What Koloff talks about and the fact that nobody, I don't think anybody really knew about this for such a long time is amazing, a real testament to what kind of professional he was. Just absolutely unbelievable and deserves to be in. And go through a couple more names here in a minute, but I want to get to the phone lines here. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. Ra's on the line. Ra, how are you?
What's good, Mike?
What's good, happening, Mike? Man?
You hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to discuss about that little Hall of Fame stuff with Brock Lesnar and such. Yeah, I do agree. I would put him on my list in the Hall of Fame. It is a shame to me that, you know, Brock Lesnar is a guy that, especially now, he's much bigger, much more well-known than he was before. Now that he's back with WWE and he's like a big mega draw, it's kind of a shame to me because he's a guy, in my opinion, that could have feuded with like a lot of these great talent that we have nowadays and such. I think of like the other guys that we see like from overseas and such like that. Just kind of, I feel like with him just being in WWE, it's kind of like kind of a missed opportunity to be for Brock to be facing like other guys other than just like other part timers. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, absolutely. And thank you very, very much for the call. I agree with that. Absolutely. And I think when it comes to the Hall of Fame, you know, it's funny. I think when he left in what was it, 2005, I believe it was, when it was time for him to bounce, and he tried out with the Minnesota Vikings and then ultimately ended up in New Japan and in the UFC, we never would have been talking about this ever, ever, ever. You know, he seemed to hate the business. He was done with it. You know, we'd never be talking about Brock Lesnar in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. But the part-time thing, while it's so bothersome because you want to see this guy every single week because the act with him and Paul Heyman is so great, that's actually worked out tremendously to his advantage because he's actually now special in an era where nobody's special. But it's interesting to kind of play, you know, what if, and go back and go, what if he never, ever left WWE? What would that have meant for John Cena? What would that have meant for Randy Orton? What would that have meant for Edge or for anybody else for that matter? And what would that have meant for Brock Lesnar's legacy if he was truly the man that would have been left with the crown to carry through to the era we are now? It's interesting. It's been a decade now to think about something like that, Vic.
It's a great question because you remember at near the end of that, not even near the end of that run, but they had taken Paul Heyman away from him and he was cutting promos regularly and doing all those standard stuff that WWE superstars are expected to do. And I'm not going to say that that was part of his unhappiness. He just hated the travel schedule, which is completely understandable. But, you know, they had already started to sort of move away from the things that had differentiated him on that first run. So it is a very interesting question because he's a physical freak and he certainly would have been at or near the top of the card regardless because he's just so big, just so strong, just such a presence that he would have some kind of aura to him even if you did see him every week. But it's certainly been enhanced by the time he spent away and the time he spent winning the UFC heavyweight championship. If he had stayed, I think he would be – well, he would clearly be on the level of those guys that you mentioned and maybe even a little bit bigger. I think he would have figured out and found his way back to the top of the card as he was being moved a little bit down the card at the time he left. But a guy like that is just too big, too talented, and too much of what Vince McMahon loves to have not stayed as a consistent main eventer over that long period of time. Whether or not he'd be the level of star he is today, I'd have to say no, but he would still be at that top level of the company.
Another guy with great charisma, great stardom, great fan appeal, who can be rather obstreperous and a real pain to deal with, and to not mince words, could be a prick. CM Punk, also on the ballot this year. And we talked about Bryan Danielson, a generational rival of his over the years, and certainly talked about Brock Lesnar. And I would be pro Bryan Danielson. I think of my 10, I think Brock Lesnar doesn't make it on there. Either does CM Punk for me. And there's just to me, and I can see making a case for Punk. There's just, for me, it's a crunch with too many other names on there. I'm not going to go on a long speech about the Assassins or Enrique Torres, but I've been voting for them for years. I think Enrique Torres is tragically underrated, and you can't do too many hypotheticals with the Hall of Fame of what if and what about this. But I think with wrestling, with how it's structured, with some of the politics that are involved in it, you do have to. It's a moving pieces for different people, and sometimes you do have some solid parameters, but on some things there's a sliding scale, and I look at Enrique Torres as the Latin Luthez, and I. In a lot of ways, and I certainly believe that he belongs in. He was a star across the country. He drew across the country, and I think he was a very important figure. I also believe that the Assassins, the same way, the Assassins, I think, belong in the Hall of Fame. And I won't go on long speeches about those guys, but it's names like that. It's names like Ivan Koloff. It's names like Bryan Danielson being on the ballot for the first time, and having so many other people to vote for from the other places as well too, like. The Sharp brothers or even a Shinsuke Nakamura in Japan, it becomes a numbers game. CM Punk, unfortunately, doesn't fall right with that, and I wonder going forward how he'll do and how he's going to be remembered. But, just on the surface, where does Punk stand for you?
I'm so glad you said what you said, because I didn't want to be the only one. But he would not end up on my ballot, at least not this year either. I sort of see him as just under the line, so to speak, in that, another year or two of the kind of year he had with the run with Paul Heyman, I think had he stuck around and been pushed to that level and had the opportunity to express himself as only he can on a week in and week out basis, and I think he would be a no-brainer. But the end of that reign, his unhappiness and all the circumstances that led to him leaving WWE, I think sort of short-circuited any opportunity he has at getting into the Observer Hall of Fame, at least in the short term, because I think he needed, at least for me, a couple, 2 to 3 more years at that level in order to really, for me to seriously consider him as one of my 10 if and when I get a ballot for this thing. Because, that run was outstanding. But if you as you recall, Mike, there were a lot of instances prior to him being put with Paul Heyman, and even afterwards, though, as great as that act was, he wasn't closing the shows. I mean, he was main eventing every house show, as he should have been as the WWE champion. But how many nights on Raw did John Cena still have the show closing role? And did they still, even though they were giving him this year-long title reign and building him up to meet The Rock at the Royal Rumble, they were sending messages. I mean, you can watch the show and know what they think based on placement more often than not. And though they were certainly giving him more than an ample opportunity to, or in terms of television exposure, and he did a fantastic job with it, you could see, at least in my opinion, that the folks behind the scenes, read the chairman of WWE, was not completely, totally 150% on board with Punk. And maybe he had good reason, just because Punk is that kind of guy who's going to say what he thinks and as he do whatever he feels, leaving.
Well, we're going to be going to break here, and we're going to have a lot more time to talk about this tomorrow, but I do have a 20 seconds or less guy that I'm going to throw out to you in the last segment, Vic, to see if you want this person in. And this is going to be, I have one that I feel as though we're going to be talking about going into tomorrow, too, but I'll reveal that when we get back from the break here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.
Are you an inventor who would like to try to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to companies, but you don't know what to do next? Call for free information from InventHelp. InventHelp, a leading inventor service company, has been helping inventors since 1984 and has sales offices located in more than 60 cities nationwide. You'll want to talk to the company that has helped secure more than 7,000 invention patents. So call InventHelp. Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll still want to call InventHelp for free information. You'll find out how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to companies. So call now.
Call InventHelp at 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. Get your free information by dialing 1-800-316-1738. That's 1-800-316-1738. 1-800-316-1738.
Do you know which investment has tripled in price since the debt crisis and risen an average 20% a year for 11 years? It's not stocks, not bonds, it's silver. And right now, we at Lear Capital believe silver is poised to hit new record highs. And we're making it easier to own than ever. For a limited time, new customers with $5,000 or more to invest in gold or silver can get up to 10 certified Morgan silver dollars absolutely free. That's right, up to 10 100-year-old Morgan silver dollars when you invest $5,000 or more. A $600 value free. This offer is available for IRA accounts as well.
Call right now, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229, 800-631-9229. Call Lear Capital now, 800-631-9229.
Today, investors need to secure and protect their life savings. With government spending out of control, they continue to print money to cover the ever-increasing debt, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. American Bullion offers a hassle-free opportunity to transfer any portion of your existing IRA or previous 401k to a gold IRA for your protection. Take advantage of the lower gold prices today and enjoy the long-term security and hedge against inflation that gold and silver can provide in an IRA. Thousands of others have trusted American Bullion to transfer their IRAs into gold, and you can too. Call American Bullion today and discover the stability, protection, and peace of mind that a gold IRA can bring. Call American Bullion today at 800-576-1046 for a free consultation and receive their free IRA rollover guide, which offers the best information on gold IRAs. Keep your life savings safe and sound when you can. Call 800-576-1046. That's 800-576-1046 for your free gold IRA guide.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, welcome back. Mike Sempervivi in for Brian Alvarez alongside Vic Sosa. And like I said earlier on, if you missed any portion of this broadcast, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time here on SportsByline.com. Also, anytime you want to, just go on up to the website, either online or from your computer or from your mobile. You can listen to the show that way as well. But got a lot more to talk about when it comes to the Hall of Fame coming up tomorrow. A lot of candidates in Japan, a lot of guys on there for the very first time, including Shinsuke Nakamura, who is a very, very interesting name. Shima, another one for fans of Dragon Gate. But Vic, 20 seconds or less, he's going to be a name that is really going to be debated this year, maybe more than any others. Sting, where do you fall?
No, that's where I fall. I am very interested and found it very interesting that Dave Meltzer talked the other night about how it seems as though the TNA run and especially his most recent appearances at WWE have been a big help to him as the ballots are still in the process of being counted. For me, it did not change my mind or tip the scales one way or the other. I'm going to vote no on Sting, at least for now.
Here's why I think we're going to have a lot of debate going forward with this, because he's been a hot name that has been bandied about and gets debated about hard on message boards, not only on ours, but on every other single one that discusses the history of wrestling. It gets bandied about hard. But how things fell this year for the first time, how everything kind of shook out, Sting ended up as one of my last 10 on the ballot. And I will take all of the slings, arrows, bullets, or possibly good wishes that come with that, too. And I'm interested to hear what everybody out there thinks. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same station, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. I want to thank producer Scott. I want to thank all of you out there. Definitely thank Victor Sosa for doing this with me. And we will talk to you again after a while, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Radio Network.